I turned on the television and saw the replay of the towers collapsing. It was beyond comprehension. The images were sickening. It was hard to watch, harder not to watch. The pictures burned through to my soul. I, like so many others, had thought America was invulnerable. It was upsetting to me to see Arabs dancing in the streets because of the 9/11 attacks. I had a hard time watching people rejoice over killing and death, even though I knew they hated us. What was worse was the reaction from people in Colorado City. Tammy came to visit me with several of Merrill's daughters in the aftermath of 9/11. She couldn't stop talking about how she and all the righteous people she knew saw the hand of God in the attacks. Tammy's fanaticism was as idiotic to me as the Islamic extremism of the men who'd flown the planes into the Twin Towers. It was impossible for me to see how anyone could spin this as an act of God. Merrill came frequently to St. George. He was thrilled to have finally gotten one of his wives pregnant again. Sometimes he drove up to Jubilee House several times a week and took me out for a steak dinner. I was so frightened being alone when I was sick that it was a relief to have Merrill there. He came just as I was beginning my 31st week. I awoke during the night in labor. I could feel the contractions beginning to come. I stayed still, thinking that maybe I could will them to stop. But 2 hours later, I was hemorrhaging massive amounts of blood. Merrill called the ER and told them to send an ambulance. The last thing I remember was a doctor in the ER trying to keep an oxygen mask over my face. I did not wake up again until I was in the recovery room. I asked a nurse if my baby was okay. She said he had stabilized. I'd had 2 previous C-sections, but never before had I been in such penetrating pain. I asked the nurse for more medication. She told me she'd given me as much as she could and that I shouldn't be in pain. But I was. I was in too much pain for everything to be all right. Merrill came in and was extremely happy because our baby was tiny and cute. I told Merrill something was wrong. When he left the room, I lost consciousness. The nurse tried to take my blood pressure and couldn't find one. I came to and remember my bed being pushed down the hall and people running on both sides of it. An ICU doctor running beside me was trying to put a central line in my neck and had the line placed before the brakes were locked on the bed. I still had 2 IVs in each arm. The door flew open to the ICU and the room was flooded with people. A bag of blood was being connected to the central line. A doctor was yelling orders and people were moving fast. I had never been in so much pain. It felt like every cell in my body was screaming for oxygen. The pain, noise, and chaos were too much. I decided to let go. I could hear the doctor's voice in the distance saying, "We're losing her, we're losing her." The doctor's voice sounded farther and farther away. Then it got louder. "Carolyn, we know you have 8 kids. We are not going to let you die. You are not going to die on us." At that moment, I started fighting to come back. It felt like sledgehammers were hitting me on all sides. My thirst was unbearable. I started begging for water. I was told I couldn't have any because I was going back into surgery. When I awoke again, I could see the colors of a brilliant sunset through a window in the ICU. I took a deep breath. The sun was setting, and I was still alive. An ICU doctor came and talked to me. He said they'd performed an emergency hysterectomy to save my life. A nurse asked me if I wanted to speak with a grief counselor after my hysterectomy. I looked at her as if she were crazy. I loved every one of my children and would never give up a single one. But my hysterectomy felt like a get-out-of-jail-free card. I smiled at her and shook my head. 8 is enough. Believe me, there's no grief. Bryson was 3 pounds, 10 ounces and doing really well. He needed to be in the hospital for a few weeks, but the pediatrician didn't think he'd have any problems. Before Bryson was born, the challenges of caring for Harrison had made me think my life couldn't get any worse. After my near-death experience, I knew it could. The nurse brought Bryson from the ICU so I could hold him. He was the tiniest human being I had ever seen, completely perfect, but on a miniature scale, and born into a world I was determined to escape.